The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Thank you for joining us tonight on another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am not Irish Daddy. Shannon is taking a very well-deserved night off. So we got the B-Squad is rolling deep tonight. I am your host for the evening, Mr. No, I almost said Mr. 100, because I'm so used to host for the evening Mr. 100 to come out. But no, I am not that. I am the five-star man, is who I am. Sam I am. Asa Gray. Joining me tonight, as always, is Allie, not actually a bear.
Hello.
And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
So, well, let's see how this goes. Because at least with the PWU Presents with Cody, Shannon was there, so he could at least, you know, point things out. This is so weird. This doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel natural. Just going to throw it out there.
I'm not this, like, so you can't see how we sit, but usually I'm always at the end of, like, one of the sides of the table, and Ace is within, like, 3 feet of me. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever, I'm looking directly across from him. There's a good 5 feet in between us. I'm not used to it. I'm kind of scared.
It does feel good. That, like, that's the one bright side.
Dalton is further away.
But it's a big show tonight. We got a bunch of stuff. WWE, New Japan, ROH, TNA? Question mark. We'll get there. And then at the end of the show, Dalton and I have a pretty big weekend between this Sunday, of course, is going to be WWE's Great Balls of Fire. So we'll be previewing that. We will be previewing the Glory Pro show that's going to be in Belleville this Sunday. And then, of course, very excited to see our friends at Stride Pro Wrestling in Marion, Illinois.
Well, so would have been before we started talking garbage on Facebook.
I mean, we still have some friends over there. They're just, you know, Lane doesn't like us anymore. It's all right. We'll win them back.
Yeah, we always do.
We always do. So to start things off tonight, we're going to start with one of the last things that we ended up talking about last week, just kind of a follow-up story. As you know, we mentioned that Vince Russo had filed a restraining order against Jim Cornette after they have been trading insults back and forth on social media. And Jim Cornette answers Russo's, not threat, but like his challenge to like, hey, you should come and, you know, oh, you'd actually run away. You know, I'll fight you. So Cornette said he would. Russo's immediate reaction is to file a restraining order.
Smart man.
So Jim Cornette decides that he is going to start selling copies of this restraining order that he's autographed, and he's giving a portion to charity, which is great. Like, that's really cool. And in a little over 48 hours, he raised $1,000 for, it's called the Crusade for Children.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, as much as we don't like Jim Cornette, we can never take away that he actually did a kind of a cool thing here.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything negative. What I want to do, though, is we need to get an autographed copy of the restraining order, because then I want to find Vince Russo at a signing and have him sign it, too.
That would actually be kind of amazing. <I'm>
not, as you're saying it, I was like, all right, so I need Jason to get Cornette to show up to a show, which won't happen. And then I need to buy
one.
There's
no need to taint CCW with this sort of negativity for the sake of a bit.
Yeah, so but I need him to get, like, for the August show, I need him to get Cornette. And then for the September show, I need him to get Russo.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can get it done in, like, one shot.
Oh, don't bring Russo. No, absolutely not. Don't bring Russo.
He'll be trying to tell bro.
Wait for, like, a Comic-Con somewhere where you can go and see him, because I think he still does those. Or go show up on his farm somewhere.
Russo has a farm?
Bro. It's in between bros, I swear to God, bro. He's talking to Steve Austin, bro, about his farm. It's Mike from Twitter.
Is he from Boston?
I don't care. I don't care.
I know the accents
Mike is. Because I like him. He does those, if commercials were real, if these real people commercials were with real people.
Oh,
those
are great.
Those are amazing. it's in some not good news. Dave Meltzer made an announcement a couple weeks back about, I believe it was a couple weeks back or maybe just a few days ago.
It was right before that happened.
Yeah, so just a few days ago, his father had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, I think it was
pancreatic cancer. And didn't have a whole lot of time left, and then he sadly passed away very shortly after that. So we want to send condolences to Dave Meltzer's family. this is a, like, I don't know, like, I don't know that much about him. I'm not a subscriber to the network, but he's such a professional just all the time. Mm-hmm. And as annoyed as we get with, you know, the 6-star, 6.25-star, whatever, just he seems to really care about wrestling. So much so that when I think it was Nick on Twitter said that they were going to hit the sickest Meltzer driver of all time in memory of Dave's dad. That was super sweet. I love that. But Dave put a really like heartfelt thank you to everyone and them and said the whole family gathered around and watched it. But they had to watch it the day after because Dave had to cover Slammiversary.
Oh.
So he didn't even see it live. He saw it later on because he's just that much of a professional that he's not, mm-hmm. you know, taking any personal time off. So, yeah, we want to send our thoughts to Meltzer. And that's good on the Young Bucks.
Yeah, did you? You
saw
the?
They're good boys. Oh yeah, because it was. So they had. It was Romero.
Yeah, it was Romero.
He had Romero in the tombstone position on the outside. Young Buck B did a backflip, like a gainer, basically off of the top turnbuckle to the outside and got a hand on it for the super ultra Herb Meltzer driver.
Yeah,
which he then yelled, "That was for you, Herb."
Yeah. Because it was like usually the other one grabs the waist and they both go down at the same time. It's one of those, and it's a good thing they didn't go for that because that can be a very dangerous move very quickly. He literally just kind of like slapped him on the butt. It was a pat,
but it
was awesome. Though.
But it was enough,
yeah.
So that was really cool. In some mostly bad news, but also some good news mixed in. Is she in the Hall of Fame?
Who?
Maria Menounos?
No.
Is she a Hall of Famer yet?
No, not that I'm aware. Whoa, no.
Like Celebrity Wing.
I don't think so. I want to say she inducted Backlund.
She has inducted people. That's what I'm thinking.
She's inducted people, but she hasn't been introduced yet. And she's always at the red carpet of those two.
Yeah. So it's someone who is a legitimate fan of wrestling. She's not there to just promote her brand or you know get the publicity for it. But she has recently come forward as having been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was benign, which I mean any tumor in your brain is not good. It shouldn't be there. She had surgery in the early part of June. It was 99% removed, and there is only a 6-7% chance that it'll return, which is
really good.
And she even said, "I will definitely take those odds."
Oh yeah, those are, if you're gonna have those any kind of odds, those are the odds to have. 1% left with 6-7 of it coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best case scenario, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. So hopefully she gets a speedy recovery. I believe she stepped down from one of her hosting positions.
On E. The E Network, yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, you need to take time to recover, take time to yourself, especially because she's also caring for her mother, who was diagnosed with cancer as well.
Yeah.
So that's just a terrible situation.
So guess who's going to win the Warrior Award next year?
She better. This is one that absolutely like deserves it. And she deserves to win an award that doesn't have that name attached to it. But we've beaten that one just to death.
So just put her in the Hall of Fame because she needs to make it before Snooki.
Mm. You had to bring that one up, didn't you?
It's the one, like, that's why I hate the celebrity ring, wing of it, because you know it's going to happen. Like, it's always in the
back
of your
head. Oh,
no,
I'm saying you're bringing that up because that was the WrestleMania I was at.
I thought you saw, oh, well, yeah, because Maria Menounos was also in that match.
Yeah, it was her and Ziggler it was her and Morrison versus Ziggler and Snooki.
Because it was, you're missing out two people. Morrison and Menounos also had Stratus.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other team had Melina. Wait a minute. Melina?
Then they've flip-flopped so many times, I don't even remember.
I feel like I'm... We'll get back to it. which we won't get back to it. That was garbage.
No, it doesn't... Yeah, no. The less you remember about WrestleMania 27, you're better off. Except for that awesome Miz video package. I love that. That was so good. Now, Dalton, I'm going to let you take the wheel on this one because this is not something that I particularly followed because I'm not a fan of the WWE 2K games.
Ooh.
I'm just really...
I'm about to get you in this one, though.
You're not, is the thing. But I'm going to... But some big news got released this week, and I know you're excited for it. Shannon was excited for one of the features.
Yeah. So 2K has, they are releasing stuff now. They're starting to release things that they've been working on for 2K18. A lot of really big things are coming out. The biggest one right now being that... Well, the biggest one to me, a really big point that they're selling on is they're always improving the graphics engine, which is something they always like to tout about, and it looks slightly better from the year before. They finally, their dynamic shadowing is getting a lot better, from 16 to 17. It's night and day. But they're completely revamping the commentary team. Mm-hmm. It is now going to be Byron Saxton, Michael Cole, and Corey Graves.
Which, yeah, no, that's, I like that they're not doing like brand split.
Yeah.
They're doing just the one team.
Which, I mean, they've done that before and it's worked, but it's, I'm happy that they're sticking with that three. And that's a good three that you can, like, that's a believable team on NXT. That's a believable team on SmackDown, Raw, whatever have you. Because, like, JBL on NXT, stay far away from that.
Especially now.
Yeah. Just stay away from it.
Also,
and it's so good. Oh, I love Marl being back on NXT. But the big thing for me is eight-man battles are finally back in the game. So instead of like having a Royal Rumble that stops having people come in at six, it'll stop having people come in at eight, which is really good. Well, I love the eight-man battles because now you can have like four, and I could be wrong. You could have four-way tag team matches. You can have
That's what Shayna was excited for the you can actually have an actual Survivor Series.
Yeah, you can have a Survivor Series. You can have a Fatal 4-Way tag match. That's the one that I'm super excited for. If that's in there, they take out game plays and add game plays at whim sometimes. Yeah. So, but no, it's looking like it's going to be a really good game. Also, we announced that Kurt Angle, or did they? Actually, I don't think we were able to talk about this.
Yeah, I don't think that was last week.
Kurt Angle is the pre-order bonus this year, which, of course, he was going to be. It's the same thing whenever Sting was the pre-order bonus. Of course he was. But Kurt Angle is the pre-order bonus. You're going to get two versions of him. And it's not like Goldberg, where it's like you have WCW Goldberg and 3 years later Goldberg. We have American Hero.
The Three Eyes when he first, his debut.
So with hair.
Angle with hair.
Yeah.
Have you seen Angle with hair yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's glorious.
Oh, it's neat.
And then
what's even better is his hair versus hair match against Edge.
Yep.
And then just once he, spoiler alert, Angle didn't win that match, but he just kept it bald the rest forever now.
Yeah. So we're going to have that angle, which is awesome because, I mean, if they keep rocking Stone Cold in the game, yes, because I'll play all those matches. And then they're also, Asa, they're going to have, and this is what he said in his press conference about it, and this is what they've also put in the release, ECW Wrestling Machine Kurt Angle.
Which, that's my favorite angle.
Yeah, and that, no, whenever I read that, I was like, oh, Asa, I'm suit, because I also love that angle, too. Mm-hmm. Like, just 2006 Kurt Angle, when he was, like, part of the ECW brand.
They tweaked his music, so the crowd couldn't chant, you suck, at it, which was the best heel move. But it was, this was coming after Angle as the comedy guy. He was the side character. You know, he could always wrestle. Everyone knew he could wrestle, but, you know, putting on the little hat and doing crazy stuff like that, this just almost completely washed that away. This was just the most intense, focused, dangerous man.
Whenever he was in ECW,
yeah,
he was very much one of the hottest baby faces ECW was going to have, and then what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm super excited for it. The eight man mode is going to be amazing just for me. Like, that's going to be worth me buying it for $60. Mm-hmm. Well, $100, because let's face it, I'm going to get the collector's edition. The new announced team is going to be awesome because, honestly, I was getting very tired of JBL on those games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Michael Cole to a certain extent, but you kind of have to have him. He's a necessary evil at this point.
The commentary in those games is hard to do. Like, I want to give him a pass most of the time.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do.
And then they leave in an audio clip where, like, oh, wait, I did that wrong?
Oh, what's the line? Okay.
What's the line? Okay.
Just
Wait for it.
Did they ever take that out?
I mean, they probably patched it out, but I definitely had the DLC.
Oh no, yeah,
whenever it happened.
No, I remember. I definitely remember it happening. I just didn't know if it had ever been patched out.
That's the only reason I played the showcase mode, just so I could experience that in real life. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Also, I think worth noting is the reason that they're finally overhauling the graphics is because this is the first one that's not coming out on PS3 or Xbox 360. Yeah. So now they can focus on these current gen graphics. You know. However many years later.
So, and we'll do this. I'll touch on this one little part, and then we can jump off of the 2K train. But did you watch, I'm assuming you didn't watch Kurt Angle's solo press conference about the announcement of him being the pre-order bonus?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
It's rough because Kurt Angle can't say WWE because he like says WWE, which is fine.
Double E.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
He goes full Kozlov?
Pretty much. But he was doing it in like kayfabe almost. Like, he was really pissed off at Seth Rollins for burning down that warehouse.
Was he checking his phone because he was getting some anonymous, like, did Corey Graves come up and whisper something in his ear?
He
had to just, like, I will not be taking questions. And he just, like, wanders off stage.
Because, like, I'll be completely honest, Kurt Angle did not care a single bit that he was doing. This is literally, like, this was the Marshawn Lynch bit of, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like, he did not seem into it, and he was like, Seth Rollins despicably burned down
did
this
he just
warehouse.
Like, did he just like wander in the ring or wander up the podium just shaking his head like, oh, as long as I get to wrestle at SummerSlam.
It's a three.
Wait, was that into the mic?
No.
Oh. Ooh. No, I mean, it could happen.
Which, don't get me wrong, I want to see Kurt Angle wrestle one match in the WWE, but not against Seth Rollins.
Oh, don't worry. It's not going to be.
I mean, I like Triple H. I like him. I want to see the match one more time. It's been like 15 years since I've seen that match.
Samoa Joe.
Kevin Owens. We'll be saying this 15 years from now of just being like, we just want to see Cena Orton one more time.
Just that one last time. Oh, that's not even a close comparison. Moving forward, Kairi Hojo has been made official for the Mae Young Classic.
Oh.
They gave her the Kairi Sane name, I think is how it's S-A-N-E.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's the pronunciation they're going with. I didn't actually watch the video, but super excited that she's going to be in there. She has to be one of the odds-on favorite to win. We still only have a handful of competitors announced in the 32-person tournament, but she's a huge deal.
Do you want any, like, old-school WWE females to come back and do, like, just kind of like Tajiri did for CWC?
I mean, I would like – I think that would be cool if there's, like, one or two –
not a whole lot.
I very much only want to I like the way that they're doing this roster now where there are performance center people and there are like big independent names. Yeah. And there's absolutely room for like, you know, but if she hadn't already been brought to the main roster or like a full-time NXT person like Mickie James, Ivory would be I don't know if she I don't know if she so there's this sidebar, there is a documentary on Netflix about GLOW. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend it to anyone because it is super cool. But I had no idea that Ivory was actually in GLOW.
Yep.
As Tina Ferrari. Like that just, and they don't mention that at all, except at the very end where they kind of do the tags of like, so they have these like six or seven people that they've been talking to more. And they're like, oh, and she actually continued to wrestle in WWF as Ivory. It's like, yes, she did.
You had the.
Because the first time you see her talking to like her doing the confessional thing, I was just like, that looks a lot like Ivory. Is that? I had to Google. I had to look it up.
Did the voice not throw it off? Because she has one of those voices.
No, she has a distinct voice, but it's been so long since I've heard it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it still pierces in my ear. Like, I can hear it. Right to censor just ruined me as a child.
Yeah. but no, like, I mean, I would like to see someone like that come. Especially, like, you know, Lita's doing commentary. I wouldn't want to see it like a Trish Stratus. Like, someone who was... like,
oh, that's...
who was at the peak of that.
That's why I don't want Mickie James in it, because I'd just be like, all right, who's going to beat her? Mm-hmm. Like, who's, like, legitimately going to beat her? Because, mm-hmm. like, even in current roster, when she loses, it's usually not clean.
Yeah.
Because it's just she was a super one of the top wrestlers from 2008 to 2012, female-wise.
But then, like, I mean, Brian Kendrick got farther than Tajiri, didn't he?
Yeah, I would also say that Brian Kendrick had a better WWE career than Tajiri did.
Yeah. Well, I just mean, like, going into, like, seeing Brian Kendrick as a competitor, you didn't have that, well, who's going to beat Brian Kendrick? So, like, if Jazz came back or something.
Excuse me, Daniel Bryan had that.
Daniel Bryan was very biased.
No, you're not biased. I'm very biased. Come on, Bryan.
I did like that. And then, what's her name?
You got to help me out.
The other Mae Young Classic, the one that they announced.
Tessa Blanchard?
No, the one with the hair.
Thanks.
The
one that uses
her
hair as a
whip. You just talked about
her. The one that you were so excited about. And you yourself said, hey, did you see the one who uses her hair?
Oh, Bianca Belair?
Bianca Belair.
Oh, yeah. So she is from what NXT was telling me on the match that I watched from the network like last... or it was like Thursday, Friday when I watched it. She's a standout track star from like University of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Very athletic looking. Like, she legitimately looks scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not big. Like, she's not, like, Bull Nakana big, but she's muscular. Like, yeah. She's stout. She has dreaded braids that go all the way down to, like, the back of her knee. And I thought that it's like, and she was versing Aaliyah, who is, like, she's developing.
Mm-hmm.
She's in NXT. But Aaliyah's gotten progressively better every time I see her. So I was like, oh, man, they're going to, because, like, the second they were like, oh, yeah, University of Tennessee standout, I was like, well, she's going to win and it's going to be bad. It was a really good match. At one point, and this was what sold me on her, she does an Irish whip into the ropes. Aaliyah comes back, and as she is, she's grabbing the back of her long hair, and she slaps Aaliyah with the hair in the stomach,
mm-hmm.
and it's louder than a chop. Like, and it was gross looking because, like, the end of her hair looked like a bullwhip. I was like, oh, that's going to cut somebody. And then I was like, that is the most metal thing I've ever seen in a WWE ring. And just like she just whipped, and it makes the whip sound on her.
Yeah.
Gross. We'll be talking about whips later in the show, too. Thanks, Slammiversary.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to end up leading to some kind of, like, I'm genuinely looking forward to William Regal, like, especially if she's a good guy, having to, like, reluctantly tell her, you can't do that anymore. It's breaking the rules.
It's not a foreign object in theory. Like,
because it's like, it's great. Well, I mean,
in the NFL, you can get tagged. Like, somebody, if you have hair hanging out the back of your helmet, you can
grab
it.
Because it's considered part of your uniform.
Yeah.
But in WWE, if you're grabbing someone by the hair is illegal.
But nobody's grabbing Bianca by the hair.
I mean, they're going to hurt their hand. Why would you?
It's hot.
I don't know. Orton got
she does a slap, and then somebody grabs it, and there's just like a burn in their hand.
Orton wrestled with the cast on for 27 years, so yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine.
And Randy Orton's been wrestling as boring as if he had a leg cast on for the last 12 years.
Now listen here, you little... speaking of NXT, since you said those words like 20 minutes ago... this isn't even news. It's just something hilarious that I want to talk about. I don't know if we showed this to you, Allie, but there was the trailer for the Lost NXT season.
Oh, it's so great.
But and I think we talked about it on the show before, but WWE actually acknowledged it.
Well,
Corey Graves' YouTube, it's because it's on their YouTube.
Well, yeah, no, it's on WWE's, but they forget one person.
Oh, they forget two people.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Because before NXT is what it is now, it's the developmental, it's kind of like what ECW was, the WWE ECW was. It was a game show, and it was terrible. It was so bad. Before they made the transition, there was supposed to be one more season that featured Xavier Woods, Big E, Seth Rollins,
Leo Kruger, which is one of the people they didn't mention.
Adam Rose and Damian Sandow didn't get mentioned.
Also, I think Brad Maddox was supposed to be in that one. Also, Jinder Mahal was also.
And Jinder Mahal was the... that is a very diverse group of people that have seen varying levels of success within WWE without... I can't imagine, I cannot imagine anyone really doing super well, except for Xavier and Big E. I think they would have been, they would have realized just how ridiculous the whole thing was and just not cared at all. And it would have, so the original NXT, they had the rookies, and then they were each paired with a superstar, and they were the pros. So depending on who could get paired with who, I could just see Xavier Woods and Big E just this is dumb, but we're just going to do what we want to do because...
I think Seth Rollins would have done it. Let's face it. If that season would have happened, Seth Rollins would have been your winner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think Seth Rollins would have been the first NXT season winner to actually go on and become something really big. Just because Seth Rollins, because that's back when he was still, pretty much Tyler Black, but they weren't. He was Tyler Black, but it's Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And, just him winning the NXT belt, watching that old stuff is so great. And even if they would have never, if he would have never went Shield, I still feel like Seth Rollins would have been an easy IC champion.
Oh, IC champion, yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, honestly, as an NXT season winner, that's about as well as you can expect to do. As long as you don't look at Cena the wrong way, you're doing really well for yourself. But yeah, no, I see that season, I'm like, all right, so we have two world champions.
Mm-hmm.
We have two tag team champions.
Longest reigning ever tag team champions.
Then you have everybody else.
Yeah.
Because, Sandow was very
Sandow
much...
Sandow could have been a lot bigger.
Yeah, because that would have been,
cut his feet from underneath him.
Every time they could.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Kruger, because it would have been Kruger, because Adam Rose was so far out of it at this point.
Yeah.
Leo Kruger probably could have been a really fun undercard person. He would have been a good jobber.
I think he could have been I think he could have had a solid... I think he could have been a good multi-time... IC or US champion.
Yeah, and then
absolutely. I really dug the Leo Kruger character. He was basically Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
Just
had a lot of really good matches with Xavier Woods in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then who'd we miss? Brad Maddox. I liked Brad Maddox on TV.
There was always just something about him that felt like he didn't fit in. Have we told you about Brad Maddox at all?
It sounds familiar, but I don't have like a gimmick in my
other
head.
Than the I feel like the only thing you would really know him from is from the tape with Xavier Woods
that and Paige.
Yeah. Oh, that's where I know the name.
But he started as he was a wrestler, but when he was on WWE, he was a referee. But then he eventually
It wasn't eventual. He did ref like two matches and then he did the turn.
I feel like he was refing longer than that.
I'm not 100% sure, but we'll go with it either way. But he turned on CM Punk. He was a big part of the Ryback Punk feud.
Didn't he low blow?
He low blowed
Ryback. There you go, buddy.
That's a hard sentence to say anyway. but yeah, and that's what started him off. And then he was the Raw GM from like 2013.
And it was so weird because he went literally from just like, yeah, I was paid off. I shouldn't have done it. I betrayed my status as referee. I'm an embarrassment to just like, oh, now you're GM. Like, what?
Do you want to know what one of his finishers was in NXT Alley?
What?
The Superman punch.
Really?
Yep. And Reigns took it.
Yep.
Which, I mean, let's be fair, Brad Maddox wasn't using it much anyway.
And honestly, I think Reigns is probably better.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot.
But no, I mean, there were some... And with Jinder Mahal losing that first ever championship match to Seth Rollins.
Such a good match.
They were in the finals together, so...
But two world champions, two tag team champions, and the rest of them are elsewhere.
But it's just weird to think how differently those career paths would have gone then.
Yeah, because...
Wait, wasn't Bo Dallas also supposed to be in that group?
Yes.
Okay. And then...
Maybe Brad Maddox wasn't in it then. Maybe it was Bo Dallas.
It might have been Bo Dallas instead of Brad Maddox.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas has a beard now.
He does.
He looks a lot scarier now.
I really think he was really hoping they would pair him with Bray.
It took me, like, whenever I saw it on Raw, I was just sitting there, I was the only one watching it, and I'm just staring, I was like, that person looks like Bo Dallas. That's Bo Dallas with the beard, and he doesn't sound like Charlie the Unicorn anymore. What is happening to Bo Dallas?
He put some bass in his voice.
I'm telling you, I'm really thinking he's just like, he shows up, he's hoping to pass Vince in catering or something, and be like, oh, we need a new Wyatt family. You, go with him. You have a beard. And instead he's like, someone sits him down. Like, all right, listen, we're putting you in a stable. This is it. You're getting teamed up with Curtis Axel again. Okay, I mean, he's cool. He has a beard. So that fits. You're going to be the Miz's new entourage.
At least I'm going to get TV time.
That's true. And it's probably going to be more entertaining than being paired with Bray at this point. Yeah. Now I'm sad.
I think a real Wyatt family, because then he could be like, I got my real family with me now. I'm not going to do Bray's voice.
My true brother.
My true brother.
Yeah. Ugh.
Don't worry about that silly stuff he was doing for the last 3 years. He did what I couldn't do to NXT, and that's win the belt.
He believed that he could follow the buzzards.
What Culture did a list like 2-3 weeks ago about top 10 things WWE wants you to forget about NXT. And one of the things was Bo Dallas's title reign. There's like, no, everybody else has done really well.
Don't pay attention to Bo. The one with probably the best title reign.
I mean, aside from in the early,
early NXT, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Character-wise. And I'm saying this as someone who hates Bo Dallas and hated that run.
Okay, yeah, character-wise, yeah, I know he had it. Because I was like, wait a minute.
Because Big E was just, I like to pin people.
Oh, he was funny on NXT. I loved him on NXT.
Was he? Maybe I just didn't see enough of it.
But, that was super early NXT. Mm-hmm. Like, we started watching around the same time, but that was before. Like, I back-watched everything. Mm-hmm. And then Seth Rollins started as, like, the tights and, like, the metal.
Yeah.
And then went into the Shield and then kept the belt for a while. Actually, the Shield was at ringside for a bunch of the championship matches, and that's why people couldn't win.
Yeah.
Because they would just come in and screw him. I was like, yes. But yeah, Bo Dallas probably did have the first really good character-driven NXT championship reign.
Yeah.
And they were like, what culture is like? They probably want you to forget about that, though.
I mean, when you compare him to guys like Finn Balor and Neville and
Zane, everybody
Kevin
else.
Owens.
Yeah, everybody but him.
Yeah. Speaking of Kevin Owens, his new Blu-ray DVD, is it called Fight Owens Fight?
Yep.
The New Face of America launches his Blu-ray yesterday on July 4th, which is... Part of me wants to think that this new Face of America thing was strictly because they like were looking at the release schedule for the year and realized that his DVD was slated to come out on July 4th, because that's too perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I always just thought it was Kevin Owens just being like, I won this title and I'm Canadian, so I'm just going to run with that in everyone's face.
I mean, he's making it work. I love the face, the new face of America. It's just, boy, this whole July 4th thing, they couldn't have planned it better.
Do you guys want
if they tried.
Do you guys want me to explain what happened during my July 4th?
No.
We'll go ahead and tell the news with it, and then I'll tell my part.
Because the this Blu-ray was sold out on Amazon. I don't know if it still is. They may have gotten
it.
It's still sold out on Amazon.
You can buy it, but
it's a pre-order. It's on back order. Okay. Yeah. And also, there were multiple Best Buys sold out. So that's amazing that a physical copy of a WWE thing. And granted, maybe it's there's actually a 20-minute preview on the network. Mm-hmm. I watched that. It's really good. I really recommend it. And it made me excited to actually see the full-length DVD. I was just going to steal Dalton's copy because I knew he was going to buy it. So when you went and picked yours up,
yeah,
how'd that go?
Well, I'm going to go pick up the DVD tonight because on 4th of July, Cape Girardeau is showing no respect to this great country of ours. Because on 4th of July, The Face of America, I could not find his Blu-ray at any store. Every website
sold out.
No, they just didn't carry it.
They just oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's less
because like I couldn't find a spot at Best Buy where they had it, and this was today. Like, I looked last night. Best Buy wasn't open yet, but like Walmart only had the DVD. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I spent way too much money on game consoles. If I can get a Blu-ray, I'm buying a Blu-ray. But this is the one case where I can't find a Blu-ray. But yeah, I went everywhere. In the back of my head, I was like, "This is disrespectful. We're in America. This is the Face of America. I can't buy his Blu-ray anywhere."
Did you try Target?
They didn't have it either.
Did you try Canada?
Well, yeah, no, because in Canada, you can find it,
because
his dad was able to find one.
That is the coolest story.
Yeah, is a great story.
Do you
yeah,
want to tell that?
So, if you go to Kevin Owens' Twitter, you'll find a picture of him where he posted about his father that bought him, I guess, a WrestleMania.
I think he said it was WrestleMania 11.
WrestleMania 11 from this video store. Yesterday on July 4th, he was able to go and buy his son's DVD at that same video store.
Most surprising part, that video rental place is still open.
I mean, it's Canada. It's a magical land. It's bizarro land, man.
But yeah.
Netflix does terrible in Canada.
And this was
Blockbuster is going strong.
We saw that today, like on Twitter. Shannon showed me, and it made me feel bad as a human because you know what my first response was?
That lucky bastard got a copy of the Blu-ray.
He was able to find it. Yeah, that's what I said.
Of course it is.
Yeah, and that's when I realized that I'm the horrible part of this country.
That's great news. Kevin Owens is a huge deal. I'm so glad that. And it's one of those things where even in that preview, it's just like no one expected him to even make it to WWE, much less be as nearly as successful as he has been.
I mean, whenever he like listened to him do any interview about it, he went to NXT and they were all like, "We're not promising you anything,
right?
We're giving you a shot."
And he was just like, "That's fine. give the man an inch, he'll take a mile."
Did you hear?
And he did.
We're on Kevin Owens. So I'm going to talk about it really quick. Did you hear about him talking about his first day in NXT when they were like doing the videos and he had his wrestling singlet?
Oh yeah, and then Enzo was like, "What are you wearing?"
And he was like, "Well, I mean, we're in NXT. I want to wear my singlet." And he was just like, "That's not why people know you." So he was like, "Well, I have my other stuff." So he puts a pair of black shorts on because Kevin Owens has a very basic wrestling attire. Mm-hmm. He was just like, "I went and grabbed my shorts and I had a Guns N' Roses shirt in my bag."
That he put inside out.
That I put inside out. And then we went up to Finn and I took some of his paint and I just put fight on the shirt. And that's like if you watch any NXT from like 2014 to 2015, that's the intro. Is that that attire, what he's exactly wearing, it's all Enzo Amore's fault.
Yep. Thanks, Enzo. We'll get to you later.
Yeah.
But some more good news. Tyson Kidd, TJ
Wilson.
TJ Miller is all I could think of in my head. I knew it wasn't right, but I got TJ Miller on the brain.
Can't say that bit on the show.
No, you cannot. Silicon Valley, great show. If you're over the age of 18, children, why are you listening to this? Don't let your parents – tell your parents about it. Your parents will love it.
Children would love it too. They're just not supposed to watch it.
No, they are not. But he is now working as a backstage agent.
Which good.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm just happy to see him being able to continue to be involved. I loved him. Like he was always just – it really always felt like he was just on the cusp of becoming really, really great. And then that tag team with Cesaro, I was like, this is it.
I loved him.
He's going to come out. He's going to come out of this just like $1 million.
Well, not even that, because I got bummed out. I mean, I love Cesaro and I love Kidd, so I loved that tag team.
Oh, yeah.
But, that wasn't where I was like, he's turning. It was whenever he was in NXT.
Mm-hmm. The Fact.
Yeah, The Fact. Oh, that was great. just that the fatal four way.
And I loved that. Like, yeah. I like, I'm not saying I didn't like that. It's just like that pairing with Cesaro.
Yeah.
Of just like, that's because Cesaro was someone who you just being in. I feel like if I got in a wrestling ring with Cesaro just at the same time, I would become like, if I started to wrestle, like I would have just like that much of an upper hand to everybody else on their first day just by osmosis. Like, I am in the presence of this man, and now just something else clicks.
Tough Enough, this is tangent PWU, but Tough Enough, whenever they did that really bad season with Hulk Hogan, the screen went black. That's not good. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to get it to come back. We're going to keep talking until it pops back up, because I see an arrow flying around. But
there we
and,
go.
Oh, I was gonna say, white screen.
You were going to die.
Yep. Come on. Come on. So on Tough Enough with that Hulk Hogan season, and we're – all right, no, so all that jittering happened. We're good. We're still on. But whenever that happened, they – all of those Tough Enough people, even the females, they all had one match on TV, and it was with Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just like, I mean, if you can't have a good match, with him, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
But no, the fact thing – so, Allie, there was a fatal four-way match at one of the early takeovers. It was Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Tyler Breeze. And for the video package, like the opening video package, it was Tyson Kidd talking, just being like, one of the best technicians NXT have to offer, one of the best showmen, one of the best high flyers, meaning Sami Zayn and all that. And he, but after everything, he said fact, because that was his gimmick, is it was Tyson Kidd, the fact. And after he got done saying good things about all of them, he's like, plus there's going to be three other guys in the ring. So he was just pretty much
he's just building himself up.
It was so great.
Using all the traits to describe the other people, but... because they did apply to him, and it worked.
Yeah, it was so great. And we apologize for that 20 seconds of uncertainty. That's my fault, guys.
Oh, that would have killed you. The last bit of news before we launch into the wrestling of the week. TNA, sorry, Impact. Oh, wait. Global Force Wrestling. getting yet another rebrand just weeks after they announced that they're dropping the TNA moniker. It is only Anthem Impact Wrestling. There, that wasn't good enough. The stain of TNA is still there. So it's now formally known as Global Force Wrestling, which, if it sounds familiar already, that's because when Jarrett got booted from TNA, he's like, well, fine, I'll start my own wrestling promotion with Magnus and Cody.
Hey, that GF Force, all right, the GFW roster, like the first 2 weeks, was amazing.
Yeah, and then after those 2 weeks and nothing else happened with it.
Yeah.
They just kind of like disappeared. And it was weird. So, and it was kind of a laughing stock because of how poorly it went.
Kinda.
And so I'm trying to be nice, but so when Global Force Wrestling is the better alternative to name your company, you done goofed.
Yeah.
So
they should have just went with Anthem. Like, they should have, Anthem should have, like, it shouldn't be any other company except Anthem. And then Anthem figures out their own acronym. I like the AWA, but it's kind of been used before.
Yeah.
And might still be currently being used. I don't know with copyright.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the company that owns the whole thing.
Right.
Why don't you just go with Anthem something? Like, Anthem... something Alliance.
Because I like Anthem Wrestling Alliance. I like that. I like that AWA. But even Anthem Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
ACW. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that one, too.
Like, I mean, any of that works. And it totally does away with all of the bad blood and just the bad taste in your mouth associated with TNA, with Impact, with Global Force Wrestling.
Well, because you know this is just Jarrett just being like, I finally won. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah,
ha,
this
ha.
Is it. This is him. I like your Jarrett voice.
I don't know how he sounds. he hasn't been relevant since 98.
You didn't say slap nuts once, so it wasn't a good Jarrett impersonation.
I wasn't a WCW fan. I only knew him as J-A-F-F-E-T-T. J-A-R-R-E-T-T.
There you go.
That was
double F.
Oh wow! I meant E.
You sure did, buddy. Oh, you sure did, Meg. Oh, group chat's gonna be fun tomorrow.
Yep.
But so yeah, no. This absolutely just reeks of him trying to like, I get the upper hand again.
What's the over? What's the over under on him hiring Russo?
Oh, zero. They're not on Spike anymore, so who knows? Zero. It has to be zero.
Where are they on Pop TV still? Is that what it's called?
Okay. Yeah, they're still on Pop TV. But so, yeah, that's the, I just. And also, so we're going to go over Slammiversary real briefly here in a moment, but I wish I could find the source on this, so this could just be hearsay. Take it with a grain of salt. but apparently they are planning on GFW is planning on introducing all new titles. Mm-hmm. They had their unification matches at Slammiversary, and so they want to start fresh with brand new championships. I like that. I'm fine with that. Apparently, they were supposed to be debuted at Slammiversary, but one of the designs was so close to the current current WWE championship, they were worried they were going to get sued.
So my thought is Jeff was just going through his like closet of belts that he like took from WWE or F at the time, and he had the Intercontinental one, like the oval one, mm-hmm. and he just put GFW on it, and they were like, "You can't do that,
not allowed." So apparently, it's now going to be at one of their live shows in August.
Yeah,
is when we're going to get these new championships, if that even happens. Again, I can't cite this source, and I feel bad
because we were talking about it in the pre-show of just being like, I've seen the GFW belts, they're ugly, mm-hmm. they don't look like WWE belts.
Yeah, but it's because they're wanting to do all new titles, which is smart. If you're keeping the GFW name, you need to at least do away with the bad part of GFW.
Like the only belt that I really remember that like springs to the top of my head was the Next Gen mm-hmm. belt, which is the one that Cody Rhodes had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That belt,
I think he still has it.
No, he doesn't. I forgot who he lost it to, but he definitely lost it. But that belt was ugly. I think it's like the ones that unified with the X Division Championship. I think that's the one that they unified with, but I'm not 100%.
I don't know if that actually got a unification, because I think it was still just the X Division Championship that got defended in Slammiversary.
If you're keeping one thing from mm-hmm. Impact, that.
The X Division. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think they're also keeping the Grand Champion, too.
Oh.
Because Moose has it.
Does he?
Yeah, because that was not – like Moose was in that tag team with D'Angelo Williams.
Yes. But it doesn't say anything about him, like, because normally it'll say, like, Grand Champion Moose.
He had the belt.
Oh, did he?
I'm pretty sure, like, from what I remember.
So, I'm not sure, but that needs to go away, too, because that's...
Impact was really bad about making stupid extra belts.
What are you talking about? The Legends Championship was amazing. And what they turned it into with the TV Championship was awesome. And Eric Young said he was going to he had to defend it on every TV show. I love that idea. And I love that they stuck with it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, those two matches were really good.
Because they were Eric Young. So just getting into it. You mentioned one of the big stories coming out of Slammiversary was D'Angelo Williams teaming with Moose to take on Eli Drake and someone. Christopher Adonis.
Yeah, so Chris Masters.
So
it was a match that Josh Matthews was actually kind of the figurehead for, because he was like, him and Williams are buddies. He's like, hey, you want to come do a match for Slammiversary? Because Impact has done this before. They did it with Pac-Man Jones. Like, they'll bring in celebrities and have them work matches. Pac-Man Jones, I think, held the tag team belts.
With R-Truth.
Yeah.
Ron the Truth Killings.
Yeah, they sure did. but, I mean, I watched bits and pieces of that match because it was a celebrity match and I kind of wanted to see it. He actually didn't do half bad.
No, he actually did really well.
He just rushed through things, but, I mean, it was his first ever wrestling match.
And apparently he only trained for 3 days before.
Yeah, but, I mean, that attests
which
to how...
Which, that's just crazy.
Yeah, how great NFL athletes are. But, believe it or not, Asa, in an interview with ESPN... Williams said, that was a one-off match. I just wanted to do that because my late uncle said it's something I should have done, mm-hmm. and he never got to see me do it, so I did it for him. But I was asked to do other matches, but I declined because I want to focus on my football career.
I mean...
Good job. I really hope Global Force wasn't like, can we get you for like a year?
Banking on him, like...
Yeah, because he was
I don't think they would have done that until after, where they saw the match and like, oh... You could be something really good at this.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're really aware with how, like, NFL contracts work, but...
Not even a little.
So, like, they don't really want them doing things that would hurt.
Oh, yeah, it's things that you could get injured doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So he's a free agent right now.
Mm-hmm.
No team has right to him.
Right.
So that's why he was able
to... So no team can say, like, you can't do this.
Yeah, because it's the whole thing, like, whenever we talked about Gronk...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Belichick's about to lose his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way he cleared... Like, there's no way Belichick would have been like, how often have you been hurt in the last 2 years? You think I'm going to let you go do a tackle at WrestleMania? But yeah, no, he was a free agent. He did it really well. Like, I thought he did a very serviceable job. But yeah, that was probably Slammiversary for you in a nutshell, just being like, we're going to do all this cool stuff and hopefully it'll stick, but we're going to drop the ball in like 3 weeks.
I mean, Slammiversary in general was a really good show. The stuff that I saw was really good, and they kind of kept the normal TNA nonsense to a minimum,
yeah,
which is nice.
Well, except for one match where it was only TNA nonsense.
I mean, yeah, but that we'll get there in a second. LAX defended the TNA they were for the Impact and GFW tag team titles. So Ortiz and Santana won that, featuring Drago from Lucha Underground.
Yeah, it was four-way Lucha Rules.
Yeah, Mara Fuji and Ishimori was one of the other teams, and then El Hijo del Fantasma and Drago was the team, and then Garza Jr. and Laredo Kid.
And I don't know if it was this deep of Lucha Rules, but I think it's one of those where if you pin somebody, you actually get a pick who gets eliminated.
I don't know.
Like, Lucha Rules are weird, and I haven't got to see the match yet. So whenever they said it was more Lucha Rules, like whenever I was reading my reviews of it, I was like, and I dislike Lucha tag team rules for that reason. Like, if it's a multi-man, if you like...
And this looks like it wasn't an elimination match at all.
Oh, it was just... Okay, good.
Yeah, it was just first fall.
But, I mean, I'm sure that was a really athletic match in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just from...
Oh, yeah, no, it was a crazy... Like, it was a crazy show-stealing high-spot opening match.
Yeah.
And they did what they... The only thing that I could say against it is they didn't do enough to really kind of build up these two outside teams,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you bring in someone like Drago.
Yeah.
I feel like that he should have a little bit of a brighter spotlight.
Because it was a representation or a representative from four different companies.
Yeah.
Impact, GFW, AAA, and CML.
I think so.
CML, yeah.
I don't have the names in front of me right now, but ACH is actually going to be part of the new Super X World Cup or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm excited
so that's,
about
yeah,
that.
That's going
to
be kind of cool.
I'm upset that he's not going to NXT, but
yeah.
I'm also excited
yet. James Storm versus EC3 in a strap match. James Storm got one more than EC3 gave him.
Yeah, EC3, like a couple weeks ago, hit him with 31 lashes. Mm-hmm. So James Storm hit him with 32.
But EC3 still won the match, though.
Yeah, I forgot it was shenanigans, I know, but...
I mean, it's a strap match, so...
Yeah, I think he got out of it, and as they were putting it back on, it's weird. But yeah, no, I watched a clip of, like, 20 through 32, and I was like, no, I hate all of that.
And it was a turnbuckle spot.
Yeah,
like a corner post spot that they were like, oh, he might actually be hurt, and then EC3 threw away the referee and hit him with another move.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sorry.
Did Sienna won the women's belt,
Sienna
right?
beat... Rosemary to unify those championships.
Yeah, because so we saw Crazy Steve with the poison mist on Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read what happened in that match?
Where she blocked it and then like sold like her hand was burning.
And then she put her hand in Rosemary's eyes
mm-hmm.
and was rubbing it so that then they were both selling as if like her eyes were burning and her hand was burning.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to see it, but that is the coolest thing ever.
That is really cool. There was a Full Metal Mayhem match, Davey Richards and Angelina Love versus Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards.
I'm happy to hear Davey made a show.
The one... yeah. I will say this one featured Davey pouring tacks into Eddie Edwards' mouth and then super kicking him in the face.
Yeah, these guys have no chill.
Hard pass. And it's one of those things, like, it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like, when you're legitimately, like, best friends and you've known each other for this long, like, you don't care what you do to the other person because you're, like, you have that trust there. But it's like, no. That's kind of, we'll get there in a minute, but that's kind of why I'm really excited about the main event for Stride.
I love you to death, Ace.
Billy and Roger.
But if we were wrestlers and you're like, all right, Dalton, we're going to do a spot where I pour thumbtacks in your mouth, I'll probably do it.
Oh, I was going to say, like you would say
but
no to me.
There would be some apprehension there. Be like, does it have to? Can we do Legos?
Yeah.
Those won't stab my mouth. They'll just hurt for a while.
You sick. Never mind. Sanjay Dutt versus Low Ki in a best of three falls match for the X Division Championship. Really cool match. I like both these guys. Really happy that Sanjay Dutt won. I've been a huge fan of him for a really long time.
Because I think they were also like, that's been a running rivalry since Impact started.
I mean, it kind of has. Like, but I mean, it's one, because they were some of the earliest guys in the X Division.
Yeah.
So they've crossed paths so many different times. The main event being, because I'm saving the one you're wanting to talk about for last because thoughts.
Yeah.
And then the main event to unify the GFW Championship and the Impact Wrestling Championship, Lashley versus Alberto El Patron. El Patron wins, becomes the first ever champion. They did the whole, everybody comes out to congratulate him. And that's not the part that I want to talk about, because it was cool that Dos Caras was ringside and King Mo was with Lashley for whatever reason.
Bellator.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. But so it wasn't Trump.
Yay!
I still think that would have been just hilarious. The sitting president there, just say what you will, I'd have laughed.
Oh, I mean, I would have hated it, like, as somebody that's not a big fan. and been like, top heel, but so is Patron. Who do I hate? Who do I hate? Who do I hate?
But after the match, Patron does this big, like, anti-WWE, you know, they're not wrestlers, we're wrestlers, they're superstars, they're an unkind word. Just, that's my least favorite thing about TNA, is just those constant thinking that they can just punch up to WWE, and it just makes them look so small time.
Yeah,
you know, you want to present yourself as you are losing your footing as the number two wrestling promotion in the country rapidly. That just makes you look worse.
Yeah,
you need to focus within and really build up your own self so other people have that thought. It's the whole I think it was either Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold talking about The Miz. No, the reason that whole "and I'm awesome" thing works is because if you're awesome, you don't say you're awesome. Let other people say you're awesome. Just, it makes me itchy.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, maybe Impact or GFW or whatever. Like, oh, maybe they're going to stop doing that as much. No, it very obviously seems that they're still going to be making these punches. Because unfortunately for this company, they are always going to be the company where it's going to be, this indie star showed up because they're about to get signed to NXT and they need to just get some TV exposure. So this is just a personal move. It's a slight lateral move before they can get to the show they really want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the people that got fired from WWE and they're like, hey, your no-compete clause just went up. Want to make some money? Want to make some money and work less? You want to make some money and put a belt on you because we really don't have anybody else to give a belt to because everybody else is...
Oh, they have so many people they could give a belt to. Oh, okay. So... because I know we're running low on time, and we have a lot to talk about still.
Yeah, we're at 51 minutes right now.
Scott Steiner and Josh Matthews versus Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park. They tried to do the Final Deletion stuff, the Broken Hearty stuff, and this is one that I actually sat down to watch, and it didn't work.
From what I've heard, I want to watch it.
The heart that you can tell it was the heart. Like, this was a knockoff. This was what they wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it missed the Hardys. That is clearly Matt Hardy's baby.
Yeah.
And it just, like, from a, I guess it was like, it was one of those things where it's like, no, it was fine, but just, no.
How happy?
It didn't work.
How happy are you that Matthews took the thumbtack spot?
Oh, super happy, because screw him. I hope he's out of the company now, out of every company now.
Did you see what happened to Borash on his?
No.
All right, so Josh Matthews takes a black hole slam from Abyss,
mm-hmm.
because Father James Smith.
We're getting there.
Oh, I was so happy. Whenever I read that, I was like, that's what made me want to watch it. But he takes a black hole slam from Abyss, who is Joseph Park. Josh Matthews is in the thumbtacks, so they let Borash have the pin. So Borash does a splash onto him after being on the thumbtacks.
Mm-hmm.
Borash made a very critical error when doing the splash. So you're not going to be able to see what I'm doing.
Oh, he put his hands down.
But he put his hands down on the splash. Now... remember the first part of the thumbtack spot? Yeah, they don't disappear like no
in a
mercy.
Video game. Yeah, they don't fade away once they're used.
So, I saw a picture, and this was the only thing I've really seen from the match, of just Borash holding up his hands like this, and there's, 20 thumbtacks between both hands.
Later on in the night, he comes out to do the ring introductions, and his hands are legitimately taped up.
Yeah.
So that was the bad call. But not only – so remember when we talked about the guy who sued Lava Girl and Shark, or
Shark Boy and Lava Girl,
Spy Kids. Shark Boy came back. Borash dove onto Matthews, who was in a swimming pool at a hotel, and the Jaws knockoff theme showed up, and Shark Boy helped out Borash. I thought that was kind of funny. But the best part of the night for me, Father James Mitchell, Joseph Park gets thrown through something by Steiner. Father James Mitchell comes forward and hands him an Abyss mask, and then Abyss comes out to help win the match with him in tow. So I hope that's not a one shot. I really hope they bring that back, because Father James Mitchell
is
so cool.
He's way creepier with a bald head, is he not?
Yeah, he really is. So that'll do it for Slammiversary. We don't have a lot of time. I just want to hit some of the high points from New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1. They ran their 2-day show. A lot of really, really, really cool stuff. We talked about this Herb Meltzer driver on night 2, where the Young Bucks retained the championships against Roppongi Vice. Ricochet comes out and says, yeah, those pricks from a certain underground fighting club kind of kept me away, but here I am. And I want the tag team titles with Taguchi? No. Who's his tag team partner's name?
He has a couple different tag team partners.
The Funky Future. Taguchi, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be coming up in Japan. That's going to be awesome. They crowned the first ever United States champion in Kenny Omega, won that tournament.
A Canadian.
Yeah, it's awesome. Kenny Omega can have whatever champion.
I'm not upset.
He gets
but
whatever championship
like,
he wants.
Hell, put it on Okada for that, then. I don't care.
And then Cody Rhodes had a really good match against Okada, they did the cool kind of nod to Dominion, where Kenny Omega came out with the towel, and Brandi Rhodes and the Young Bucks had to stop him from throwing it in before Cody Rhodes eventually got put down with like 6 Rainmakers or something crazy.
They just like their matches to be grosser and grosser every time.
Nah, I'm okay with it. also, but the big news, unfortunately, Billy Gunn did not win the IWGP Intercontinental Champion. That's where I got confused. He was wrestling for the championship, but he didn't hold it.
Yeah.
So, because like a couple weeks ago, I said that I thought he might
be
the champion.
We didn't know for sure.
Like off the top of my head. But so, yeah. So, he didn't win that championship, so he's not going to be bringing that to CCW on July 29th.
Tickets
still available. But for me, personally, the biggest news, Haku coming out with the Gorillas of Destiny when they won the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions against War Machine.
In the Bullet Club shirt.
Yeah, Haku wearing the Bullet Club shirt. Is that not the most terrifying thing you can think of?
Oh, yeah.
Have we told you about Haku?
No.
All right, well, I can sum it up with this. Andre the Giant said that there was only 2 people he would never actually want to get in a fight with, and Haku was one of them. And Andre the Giant was a giant.
Was Roddy Piper the one who said that if he was in a tank from 100 yards out and Haku was pissed off, he would still get out and run?
I think so. I mean, that sounds right. Haku is a legitimate tough guy. He is legitimately scary.
Oh, yeah. He's the person that, like, they would always try to pick fight, like, the drunk rednecks would try to pick fights in bars because, oh, you wrestlers aren't real tough. And then he would just, like, eat a beer, like, he would drink a beer and then just eat the bottle for fun. Like, I mean, that's, you know what? I'm going to even say, I bet that's happened at least once.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, like, I'm exaggerating for humor, but I don't know.
I'll correct you. That may not have happened once. He may have drank the beer and then made them eat the bottle.
Yeah.
That definitely happened more than once.
Yeah, more than likely. So.
Because he was a big star in the 80s, King Haku. They gave him dumb gimmicks, but he was still just the baddest guy in the whole locker room. Like, whenever Andre the Giant says that, no, I wouldn't pick a fight with that guy, and Andre the Giant was as big as Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it's
that's
crazy.
That's a hard pass.
So,
but,
yeah.
His son is Tonga, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his son's Tonga, so he came out after his kid won that belt, which was... It warmed my heart.
Super cool.
Then to see him in the Bullet Club shirt and then all the other Bullet Club members, just being like, oh, that's their career highlight.
Raw and SmackDown happened. The only 2 things I really want to talk about was Rusev finally came back to interrupt Cena, who was cutting his Circle Jerky America is Great Super Patriot promo that just bores me to death every single time they do it.
But
and Rusev deserves so much more than to just be fed to Cena in a last minute flag match
that didn't happen.
No, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. It will happen eventually, but I just, I really wanted him to come back as a face, save, or like, and immediately go after Mahal.
You know, that's gonna be a SummerSlam match.
But he shouldn't, if they want the crowd to be behind him as a face, then you don't have him go up against Cena.
I don't think that's gonna be
a
thing
anymore. Who is super patriot.
Like, I don't think he's a face. I listened to it. Like, I was watching it last night. He's not a face in this situation.
Rusev?
No.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
well,
yeah. If you want him to be pushed as a face, this is not how you reintroduce his character.
Yeah. I think they gave up on that. Whenever Lana debuted, they were just like, let's just forget all this.
That's...
Scoot.
Bums me out. And then on Raw, Enzo Amore opened the show, which was cool to see someone different opening the show. Cut a good promo. The internet seems to be super, like, that it's the best, one of the best promos of all time. I don't see it. He had a couple, you're a 7-foot catchphrase that I wrote, super dug that. When he dropped the mic and then picked it back up and kept going, really dug that. But, like, I don't know.
I think why everyone really likes it is because I didn't see the other promos, but it sounded like Enzo was just done. It sounded like everyone, it was Cass is the big guy, Enzo's done. And now Enzo doesn't seem so done anymore.
And that makes sense. Like, I'll get that. I get that. The whole, you know, we were ride or die, and that part of me died, like, with the tear that ran down my cheek. Like, there was good parts of it. I didn't like that he's like, you never had my back. No, he absolutely did. There is video evidence. That's super heelish to me. And that part didn't click with me. But.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I think another thing, and you know how like 2 weeks ago, whenever I was like, all right, we need to stop giving Cass crap on the microphone, right after Enzo did that cast then cut, just a heel Cass promo, where he was just like,
Where the money is.
Yeah. That was a thing. I didn't like
and
that
at
all.
That's what I said. That's why I said what I said. Like, hey, let's maybe let him have more than one promo before we are ready to.
I say stop writing their promos for him. These two obviously know what they're doing.
100%.
They're not going to slip up and say something you don't like, Ball family. Like, that's not going to be what happens. Also, we had a rap battle with Wale in it, and nothing bad got...
Well, hard pass.
Yeah, like, nothing, no Ball moments happened, which was good. I was watching that just like, oh, this is live now. This could happen. Watch it.
And then with Raw, this was their go-home show for Great Balls of Fire, which is this Sunday. Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardy Boys for the tag title match in a 30-minute Iron Man match. That's going to be awesome, because the Hardys have not missed a step since... Which, I mean, it's not like they stopped wrestling for a decade.
No, they did.
Shut up. The Miz with Maurice, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE Intercontinental Championship match, who a user on Reddit did the math, pointed out that Miz and Ambrose have been feuding since Rio de Janeiro 1977. I love that. That joke needed to be said out into a wider audience because it's amazing, and whoever you are, I love you. We get the Enzo Amore big cast match. That just has to be Cass just eats him. Like, just breaks him in half and then eats his top half. The bottom half he takes home in a doggy bag.
I'm not finished with you. Nom, 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 nom.
Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt because shrug.
It'll be a good match.
It hasn't been made official, but I have to assume they're doing like a Finn Balor, Elias Samson thing.
That'll be pre-show.
Which Finn Balor on the pre-show. Get your together, WWE.
It'll get people excited to watch this pay-per-view that nobody's excited about.
Yeah, I guess. Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship. Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman in an ambulance match. Boy, do I hope Strowman wins this.
Wait, all right. So I know you don't want to talk about Raw. So he throws Strowman throws Cruz in the ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Cruz does – did you see the video of Cruz doing his standing moonsault? But then – like mid-rotation, Strowman just leans back because he's on the ground, lifts his legs up and just kicks him and just like shoves him with his legs as Cruz finishes his rotation and just lands like right on his shoulder and neck. It's disgusting. And I love Strowman so much.
So he throws him in the back of the ambulance and then he like slaps it twice and then the sirens or the lights come on, but it's not moving. So he slaps it twice and then he slaps it twice. So then he decides to go around the front. And he looks in.
He looks in the window.
In the window. How do you not see a 260-pound Samoan in the front seat of an ambulance? Like,
so he looks in. He's like, I don't know what's going on. So he opens the door and Roman Reigns pops out and attacks him.
Because Allie was watching that part with me because we were watching clips on YouTube. And I was like, how do you not see Roman Reigns? I get that he wears all black. But how do you see a 260-pound?
The dome light wasn't on.
Yeah. he's the big dog. I know if there's a dog in an ambulance.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, but and then he speared him off the stage, which they did the two tables again. Did you notice where Strowman's head was and where that second table didn't break? I was really afraid, being like, did he get concussed?
No, and then he just stood up because he's Strowman.
Just punches the table down. I'm not finished with you.
Neville versus Tozawa for the Cruiserweight Championship. This low-key could be the best match of the night.
I take that back. That's going to be the pre-show match.
Yeah. And then the main event, Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe for the Universal Championship. I don't like that they didn't keep them apart at all during this build-up. I like the fire that Joe showed, and I really hope it just plays into a thing where Joe was like so animated that he gets sloppy, and that's what leads to the loss. But Joe needs to get a lot of offense in. Otherwise, this whole thing has been for nothing.
Yeah.
Choking him out on the stage, just wasted.
Well, you know, it's just going to be Paul to be like, yeah, Samoa Joe was able to get him whenever he wasn't looking. And then I'm going to be like, yeah, that doesn't negate the fact that I had to see 37 German suplexes. That's it's anti-Christmas. Like, it's like composite Christmas for me, where I'm like, I get really excited for Christmas. And then Christmas happens, and then Christmas is done. But this is like, I'm more and more hating this match as the time goes on.
Well, don't worry, because the good news is we probably won't be watching it live. Because also Sunday night in Belleville, Illinois, is Glory Pro presenting War of the New Age.
Yeah, it is.
Our first Glory Pro show. Super excited to go. We're not going to go down the whole card, but we are going to point out that we get to see Espy.
Yep.
Is going to be taking on Sean Orleans. Good luck to you, Sean. We get to see the besties in the world, which is who's become one of our favorites with Davey Vega and
Matt Fitchett.
I always get that wrong.
Really quick, you weren't here when we were watching the besties match on YouTube, were you?
No.
All right. So the brain eater that Pistol Danger and Davey Vega did that you can see on CCW Chaos that just aired was
episode
that tonight?
4 tonight.
No, it was tonight.
And
yep.
Every week going forward, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. And if you miss, and if you miss the episode, it's available on demand. So go check that out.
Yeah. So they do an amazing move called the brain eater. I won't explain it, fans. I want you to go watch it because it's great. With the besties in the world, they do a variant of that move where it's called the brain eater. And instead of
it's the brain eater.
Oh, it's the brain eater at CCW. It's called brain damage when the besties do it.
Okay.
Instead of the super kick that Pistol Danger does, Matt Fitchett does a running knee a la Daniel Bryan. Mm. And it's grosser, which isn't a sentence I ever thought I would say for the brain eater.
Which is better.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're going to be taking on the boys from Jollyville. Don't know what that means, but I'm excited.
Sorry, boys.
Yeah. And then also Everett Connors is taking on Zema Ion, DJZ,
yep.
Formerly of Impact.
KLD's in a 6-man match.
Yep, we'll get to see KLD again. Super
Yay.
Excited to see for that. Mara Fuji is taking on Donovan Dijak.
Yep, that's another
That's
going to
be a crazy match. And then the main event, Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, ROH champion, taking on Michael Elgin.
Yup.
So that's if you're in the St. Louis area, definitely check it out. It's going to be
if you're in the St. Louis area, stay at home because they sold out of tickets.
Sorry about you. I forgot about that. We did get lucky in
because we were actually initially not able to get tickets because I waited too long because I'm a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily, Espy, my beacon of light, sent a Facebook thing saying, "Hey, 50 tickets opened up thanks to our sponsors." I saw that I saw it with like 1 minute after posting. 10 minutes after posting, I had my tickets.
Yep.
Thanks, PayPal.
And then on Saturday night, if you're in Marion, Illinois, at the Star Center Mall, Stride Pro Wrestling is going to have another show.
Do we have a name for this one? Or is
Rumble.
It... Ooh, oh, that's right, yeah.
Stride Pro Wrestling presents Rumble. Super excited for... I'm super excited for this card. We're going to get Maximum Overdrive, the Neon Nightmares, you monsters of men, taking on Heath Hatton and Jay Spade.
Sorry about you, Heath and Jay.
Please don't hurt each other. Be
yeah.
great if you guys could, you know, work as a team because, you know, as great as the hair is, there's just something about Petty that or damn it,
Phoenix
about Phoenix that I just want to see get, you know, just it's take one in the face.
Are you thinking about NASCAR right now?
Maybe, Petty. Probably.
And yeah, like Jay.
And keep an eye out for the you know, if you can actually watch each other's back, keep an eye out for that chain. Cause
yeah, axe
bad things. We're going to get Chris Hargis versus Magnifico versus Richardson and Bragg.
Oh, they're attacked. Hargis and Magnifico?
I'm not questioning it. I want to see it.
That's an amazing tag team.
Okay, so just sidebar. Jesse and I went to Villainous Grounds on Monday.
Yeah,
Coffee, greatest comics. It's the best. They're the nicest people. But their drink of the week is the Frackamaca something because it was someone. That's what someone came in and ordered because they normally only drink black coffee. But I had the Italian soda version of it, and it's like coconut, German chocolate, sparkling water, and I'm just like, nothing in this sounds like it should go together, but I want more of it. That's what this Hargis Magnifico team is to me. No, this shouldn't work, but I think it will.
I swear if Hargis does the clapping to the song, which he won't do because Hargis is scary, but I want that to be a thing.
It would be okay. There's going to be a triple threat match. Potentially, card is subject to change. Apparently, Joey might be hurt.
Oh.
Which, get well soon, you magnificent man. But Dexter Roswell versus Joey O'Reilly versus Cash Borden. Although, if you're going to miss a match, that might be the one to sit out because, boy.
Cash just has no chill.
Cash has no chill. Dexter, I'm sure, is not going to be coming to the ring alone.
No, he never does. Well, I mean, if Hargis and Magnifico do their job as well as I know they can.
Legacy Championship, Tony Flood versus Eugene Drip.
Oh, sorry, Eugene.
Yeah, good luck to you, buddy. Bo Tatum, who we saw at the Pinckneyville show, is going to be taking on Red Daniels.
Ooh, that's going to be a good match.
I'm really excited to that. And then we mentioned it earlier in the night, the main event, Impact heavyweight champion, Roger Mathis.
Time.
Stride. Oh my. No, he has a better belt. He has a better belt.
It's more prestigious.
It is. Stride heavyweight champion. Oh, please don't kill me, Roger. Roger Mathis taking on Farmer Billy Hills. Yeah. I am so on board. I am so stoked for this match.
Please don't hurt my friend, either of you.
I mean, can they both win? Co-champion.
Co-champion.
Let's do the Matt Lake Hardy Wolf. MVP thing.
Oh.
And then they have to be the tag team to... there's going to be a lot of Southern discomfort in that match.
It's going to be a rumble. I think Sarah's going to be ringside for that, too.
I hope so.
Ooh, the rumble, too. There's
And then that is the to name a new number one contender. It looks like it's everybody.
Is
going to be in the rumble to name the new number one contender for that Stride heavyweight championship.
I'll tell you off the show because I don't want to tell you like my insider tip of who I think's going to win. But I got a text message from one of the wrestlers saying they're in the rumble, and I'm really excited about it.
Neat.
Yeah.
Support local wrestling. Support indie wrestling. It's awesome. We always have a great time. We're excited to see everybody.
And Stride tickets are $10. There's not a bad seat in
No,
the
there's
place.
Not.
The new venue in the Star Center Mall, way better.
I like it a lot.
It's a lot more fan-friendly for wrestling. There's not a lot of unused
space. Open space, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just better well-lit. Everybody seems wrestling there seems to be a lot more happy with it. So the match quality, and like not that the match quality was poor before, but like the match quality, like that one show that we got to see, just seems like there's so much excitement.
Yeah. It channeled in a lot better as opposed to having that big open other half of the room.
Yeah.
So that is going to do it for us tonight on PW. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking with us. I know we went a little bit long, but we don't have a professional hosting this time, so I don't know. If you like this, we hope you did. Check us out on facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like, share us with your friends. You know someone who likes wrestling, and we have an opinion that you agree with. Send it and be like, no, yeah, look, these guys know what they're talking about.
Or if you have a different opinion, and you can voice it in a not mean way, put it on our show thread. We want stuff to talk about,
and we will respond. Am I wrong for thinking that Enzo promo was meh? Let me know. Also, if you really, really liked us, you can go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. Apparently, we are reworking the perks,
rewards.
The rewards.
Yeah.
But any little bit that we see that, shows that you guys appreciate what we do totally makes our day every single time.
Yeah.
And we will love you forever. We already do if you're listening
to this.
And you'll
get put on our website. Yeah. And if you give us a certain amount of money... Say you like PW a whole lot and you have like a wrestling page or you're doing something.
Or you want to plug your local, if you're not from the area, because we got people all over. If there's a local promotion that you want to, draw attention to, we can plug that on PWU.
Yeah, if you give it, and it's one of those, any of us can do it.
Yep.
I would like to think we're good promotion.
Yeah. Speaking of local wrestling that we want you to check out, we mentioned it earlier, but CCW Chaos every week on the free Fight TV app. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, it goes live. A lot of the times the wrestlers are in the chat. We're usually in the chat. Drop in, check it out, see what you're missing if you've been missing it. And then plus after that airs, every episode is on demand.
I can guarantee it is the second most attractive commentary team you've ever seen in your life. We would be first, but Corey Graves.
Corey Graves does exist.
Yeah.
Son of a... and then Daniel Bryan did... team with Morrow.
That is in the past.
That's fair. And so thank you Dalton and Allie for sticking with us. I believe we may be doing the After Dark tomorrow potentially.
Yeah, we are definitely doing an After Dark.
There is going to be
there's always an After Dark. I don't think they've canceled it yet. If not, Jesse can run the sound.
And if not, definitely Nerd Up again on Sunday. We'll be doing recording in the morning.
Super before, early in the morning.
Before our big day of St. Louis and Belleville. So,
yep.
But yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in. We appreciate the hell out of you, and we will see you next time.